Hi, and welcome to the My Dog Made Me Do It Naturally podcast. I am your host, Kat Jepsen, a canine nutritionist with an innate obsession with dogs and the natural ways in which we are driven to live because of them. So, let's get to it. Hey everyone, and welcome back to another shorts episode. This week, I'm going to follow on from last week's discussion on the microbiome influence in the behaviour of our dogs. Now, last week we discussed basically who the microbiome are and the gut-brain axis and their influence on neurotransmitters. But this week, we're going to touch on how food plays into this. And I'm going to discuss a couple of studies basically that have been done that provide us with a little bit of evidence that food does influence the microbiome and therefore influence behaviour. Now, this is really interesting because if you do have a dog that is kind of stressed out or, you know, seems a little bit upset with day-to-day life and you've been working really hard on their behaviour and you might have hit a wall or you might not just be getting where you need to be, then you could try influencing their diet to try and help with these behavioural issues. Now, if your dog does have behavioural issues, then I do always recommend that you work with a qualified behaviourist, which I am definitely not. But I do think using the diet as a way to kind of help support your dog through their behavioural journey is a really easy and healthy way to use that, to use the tools that you have available. And sometimes it can be just by making super small changes. I think you'd be surprised. So, we already know that brain development and neurotransmitter production is influenced by the microbiome. But the microbiome are also responsible for the synthesis of the short-chain fatty acids, acetate, butyrate, and propionate. Now, these short-chain fatty acids are a byproduct of the microbiome and fiber in the colon, and are responsible for the maintenance of the gut barrier. They help to regulate the T cells, and they also help with several brain-related physiological factors, such as modification of the precursors for neurotransmitters in the gut. So basically, the microbiome chew down on the fiber in the colon, and they produce these short-chain fatty acids. And in return, these short-chain fatty acids are used by the body, they're absorbed, they help to maintain intestinal permeability, they help the immune system do their job, and they help the body create the neurotransmitters. So they create the products needed for the recipe for the neurotransmitters. It's probably the easiest way to describe it. So short-chain fatty acids are actually thought to possess antidepressant-like effects, particularly butyrate, which has been found to improve memory in animal models of Alzheimer's disease, and it also showed neuroprotective properties in other degenerative disorders such as Huntington's disease. And this was a study done by Mohajeri in 2018. That study also found that these short-chain fatty acids enhance the function of the blood-brain barrier to ensure efficient transmission of information across the gut-brain axis. So the blood-brain barrier is essentially the gateway for items that are within the blood to get into the brain. And if there is something happening within this blood-brain barrier, then the messages or the chemical compounds or the short-chain fatty acids, all the neurotransmitters won't be able to effectively cross into the brain and do their job. And short-chain fatty acids help maintain this relationship and help maintain this pathway. Now, other food-related studies suggest that the role of the diet is a driving force of behaviour due to its influence in the productivity of the microbiome. Now, there are lots and lots and lots of different research articles available on the microbiome now in terms of nutrition, so it wouldn't be hard to find studies like this if you did want to have a look yourself. But a few of them I found were a study by Packer in 2016. They found medium-chain triglyceride diets have been found to exert anxiolytic effects, which is anti-anxiety effects, in dogs suffering from idiopathic epilepsy. And this is through their influence in decreasing ADHD-like behaviours associated with the disease. And these are things such as stranger-directed fear and chasing things. Now, Secchi et al. In 2016 also found that low levels of serotonin and dopamine have been linked to aggressive behaviour and impulsivity. And Bosch in 2007 found that dogs on protein-rich diets without additional tryptophan demonstrated higher dominance aggression scores than controls. Now, tryptophan is an amino acid and it is also a precursor to serotonin, which is a happy hormone. And it's been found by supplementing with tryptophan in the diet in rats, it actually reduced aggressive behaviours. And it reduced aggression and self-injurious behaviours in monkeys. And it also increased exploratory behaviours in foxes. And just additional to that, Robinson in 2020 found that sled dogs fed additional tryptophan in their diet actually showed reduced pre-exercise agonistic behaviours throughout a 12-week period. Nutraceutical diets is also something that cropped up when I was doing my research, and these have been found to influence behaviour in a number of ways, and that's through the addition of various wholesome foods. Now, dogs with behavioural disorders were found to benefit from amino acids added to their diet and N3 and N6 polyunsaturated fats. Rats have been successfully treated for insomnia and chronic anxiety with pomegranate. Valerian root has been used to treat mild sleep disorders in mice. Rosemary showed beneficial reductions in anxiety and depressive activities in mice, as well as hawthorn, exerting similar effects. Chronic anxiety has been positively influenced through stress reduction and reduced heart rate from L-theanine supplementation from green tea. And depletions in L-tryptophan have been associated with anxiety and depressive symptoms. Now, furthermore, dogs fed diets supplemented with pomegranate, vervain herb, rosemary, hawthorn, tilia, and green tea showed increased levels of the positive mood and behaviour neurotransmitters serotonin, dopamine, and B endorphins, and reduced levels of negative stress-associated neurotransmitters cortisol and noradrenaline. Supplementation with L-theanine also showed reductions in cortisol, and increased dopamine has been found to improve satiety and reward expectations. And this was all found in the study by Secchi et al. In 2016. Now, this is really interesting because it does actually show that by adding a few of the well-known superfoods, which we all know many of those ingredients I've just read out, and just by adding a few of these superfoods, it can have dramatic influences on the microbiome, on the neurotransmitter production, and therefore on behaviour modification. So even if you are not a strong believer in the microbiome or the connections of the gut-brain axis, and your dog was kind of stressed out a little bit, you could just try adding a few of these fresh foods and see what happens, because they're not drugs, they're just foods. And they are going to be safe options to try without having to try medications. Now, moving on to food and cognition, diets deficient in omega-3 fatty acids have strong correlations with negative behaviours and mood disturbances. Now, the same study by Secchi found that rats fed omega-3 deficient diets exhibited increased aggression and stress-related behaviours compared to controls fed omega-3 inadequate diets. And differences in dopamine concentrations and receptors in the brain regions were also thought to be associated with higher levels of oxidative stress due to that lack of omega-3. Further to this study, Tynes and Landsberg in 2021 stated that supplementation of EPA and DHA fatty acids have shown positive effects in reducing symptoms of cognitive decline as they nourish the cells within the brain, which we did touch on this briefly last time. An interesting study by Snigdat in 2012 found that adding antioxidant and mitochondrial-rich foods to the diets of older dogs improve their cognition performance when paired with environmental enrichment when compared to just using enrichment alone. So this suggests that in order to prevent cognitive decline, it's crucial for us to feed antioxidant and mitochondrial rich foods such as like blueberries and coconut oil, and use these with mental enrichment to support our dogs in the best possible way. And it's thought that the addition of these foods play a role in reducing the inflammation that leads to decreased cognitive performance and then increases the amount of free fatty acids in the brain required for cognitive processes. Because if you have fatty acids that are working on inflammation and you only have a set amount of fatty acids, these fatty acids are going to work on reducing that inflammation, which might mean there aren't any left in the pot to nourish the brain. So in order to help the brain still be nourished after fighting the inflammation, we need to feed more of these foods so there's more to go around. Now, it is strongly predicted that dietary amino acids are likely to influence behaviour through their influence on the central nervous system, which of course occurs through a chain of events as a result of the metabolic processes. Now, amino acids, which are found in meat products and organs, these aid in the synthesis of several neurotransmitters that are involved in how sensory information is received, processed, and responded to. For example, tryptophan and tyrosine are precursors to serotonin and dopamine, which are the neurotransmitters associated with impulse control, learning, and emotions. But it has been found that supplementing for these alone may not always show positive results, as other dietary factors can influence bioavailability in the brain. So in a nutshell, we need to be feeding a variety of health foods so that they can all work together in synergy to help keep that brain nourished. Now, I love researching things about the microbiome and cognition. I think it is so interesting, and I think it is so wonderful that we can turn to nutrition in order to keep our brains healthy and to keep our dog's cognition on point and to help prevent their cognitive decline, and better yet, just to keep them happy. And if you haven't got any fresh foods in your dog's diet at the moment, just add some in and see what happens. I use a tryptophan supplement for my boys, and I have to say, since I started Barney on it, his anxiety has massively reduced. I mean, when you do have a hyper-stressed, hyper-aroused dog, it is something that you have to manage from day to day, and there might be times where it never completely goes away, and it is going to be a case of managing that stress every day if they are susceptible to it. But by using food and using supplements, we can definitely improve the level of support that they receive. And that is one way that we can empower ourselves to be their best advocate and to rely on us for everything they need. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Have a great day, pet parents, and say hi to your pups from me.
Thanks for listening to another great episode of the My Dog Made Me Do It Naturally podcast. Don't forget to check out the caption for any links discussed here today. And please, if you enjoyed the show, follow along and listen for free on your favourite podcast app. If you have any questions or would like to share your story, feel free to email me at mydogmademedoitnaturally@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Purpose of this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be substituted as advice from a veterinarian or other professional. It does not form a client relationship with me, the host, or any guest speakers, and any information is not intended to and does not diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. And my guests express our own views, thoughts, and opinions as individuals, and the podcast neither endorses or opposes the views, products, or services discussed here. If your pet is ill, always seek advice from your veterinarian. I am not a veterinarian, and I do not treat disease or offer medical advice.